Thank you, Jeff. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's as Jeff says, it's great to be together in the house of the Lord. And this is his special day. And we come to give thanks to him and to praise him and to worship together. I've just got a couple of verses I'd like to share before we sing our first hymn. And really, in a way, it follows on from the memory verses that we've just spoken. And this is from Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 3. I'll read them out. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. We just read those memory verses, and it kind of reminds us that people put their faith all in the wrong things and like the darkness. But we have one who is the light, and the Lord loves it when we place our faith in him and trust in him. We've got two readings this morning, and our first reading, Old Testament reading, is from the book of Joshua, and it's Joshua chapter 2, and we'll be reading from verses 1 to 14. It's a lovely story that I can remember from my Sunday school days. This is the story of the fall of Jericho. But more specifically this morning, I'd like us to think about Rahab and her role in the fall of Jericho. And it's a story of faith. And we've just sung about faith, haven't we? And this is a fantastic story that certainly caught my imagination. We read this, verse 1. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman who had taken the two men and hidden them, she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts sank, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is the God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us this land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now she had said to them, go to the hills so that the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. The men said to her, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied the scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers and all your family into the house. If anyone goes outside your house into the street, his blood will be on his own head, as we will not be responsible. As for anyone else who is in the house with you, his blood will be on your head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you have made us swear." "Agreed," she replied. "Let it be as you say." So she sent them away, and they departed and tied the scarlet cord in the window. Amen. And we'll look at that a little bit closely later on, as I mentioned. But in the meantime, let's sing another hymn. Our New Testament reading, James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And James, it's a lovely epistle James writes. It's a very practical epistle, I always think James is. It's a what I call a nuts and bolts epistle. It tells you how to do things and how to get on with the Lord, and very straightforward. And here he's talking in from verse 14 about faith in deeds. So let's read this together. James chapter 2, verse 14. We read this. "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.' You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.' You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." Amen. So I mentioned earlier the story of the fall of Jericho, and Rahab's role in it was one of those stories, along with all the other what I call great Old Testament stories of like David and Goliath and Noah's Ark and Gideon and Samson. You know, there were big stories of adventure, really. They really were. God's great adventure using his people. And what we've read this morning is the culmination of a promise that God made some over 400 years previous to his servant Abraham, where he promised him that he and his descendants would receive a land of their very own. A land that was a good land. And this was the moment in which they were going to move in and take hold of this land. And the time had now come for that promise to be realized, if you like. But the thing is this, that it wasn't going to be a case of the Lord just opening in the door and saying, "Well, there you are, go on in, it's all yours." There was something that his people had to do. They still had to step out in faith. And Jericho was an issue that challenged faith. It was a very fortified city. you know, of the day. It was one of the great cities. Very thick walls, as we've read, that even people could live so thick that people could have their houses within the walls. And it was a place that meant that the Israelites would have to step out in faith and do exactly that which the Lord tells them to do. That's the key, isn't it, really? It's when we try and take the initiative and take things into our own hand that things can go awry and we lose sight of what God has told us and said to us. And on this occasion, the Israelites were faithful, but we know as we go through the Old Testament that that wasn't always the case. But this story of Rahab that has all the ingredients of a movie, if you like, it's got espionage and cunning and subterfuge and tension, it's all there. But the culmination is one of God's almighty sovereign power. When we read in chapter 6, the children of Israel marched around the city for 7 days, and then they gave a mighty shout, and the walls came tumbling down. There's a song to that, anyway. But beyond all the drama, there's a much deeper and more important spiritual truth that is being acted out here. And that's what I'd like us just to briefly consider this morning. And Rahab is central to all of it. You see, the rescue of Rahab and her family is a wonderful picture of saving faith. Faith that saves. It's a marvellous thing, really. It's faith that is active. We've just read about the importance of faith that is shown in deeds. You know, you can have faith, but if you don't act upon your faith, if you're not doing something about this faith that you have, then I'm not sure what use it is, really. James made that point very clearly, didn't he? Faith has to be active, and faith takes some risk. There was some degree of risk for Rahab in what she did. But you know, it's really never ceases to amaze me how, when you look at Scripture, how God chooses people who we would think are the most unsuitable people in the world to be involved in the Lord's work like this, or the most unsuitable people to be chosen to do something, you know. And Rahab, well, she was as unsuitable as unsuitable could be. But all the heroes of faith that are listed in Hebrews 11 had to step out in their own way, and it involved risk. But when they overcame that risk, it was their faith that saved them. Noah had to build an ark hundreds of miles from the sea, and he was told there's going to be a flood. And they had rain. Well, we know what it's like to have rain, don't we? And we can understand that. But for Noah, that was a new concept. Abraham had to step out in faith and leave the land that he knew, with a wife who was too old to have children. Gideon had to have faith that only 300 men would be enough to defeat the vast army before him. And Moses, well, he had to have faith that God was make him speak the right words and not to be worried about his impediments. So many examples of people stepping out in faith, which is an encouragement for us, because sometimes I guess we might feel that we're not adequate enough or good enough, or that these people in the Bible had a special dispensation. You know, they had the faith gene that was for biblical people. Well, that's not true. You know, when we step out in faith, God honours that. He really does. Jesus, he was once encountered by the centurion at Capernaum when he entered. And he approached Jesus for healing for his servant. And Jesus was amazed at his faith. And the centurion said, look, you don't even have to come and see them. Just say the word. That's faith. That's faith, isn't it? And what did our Lord say? I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Not anyone in Israel with not such great faith as this centurion. I don't know how many people were living in Israel at the time. That's a lot of people. What a wonderful blessing from our Lord for that man. And there we have Rahab. And we discover in her life, in her actions, that this is the place where God honours faith. And he honours it with the gift of salvation, no matter how guilty the sinner may be. And sometimes we do carry guilt. But the love of God is such that he gives us a new start, doesn't he? I mean, Rahab had nothing going for her, really. If you think about it, she was a pagan. She was a Canaanite. She was quite possibly brought up, like all her neighbours and everyone else in her land, to worship false gods, gods that were detestable in a father's sight, who did awful things. They worshipped and did awful things in the name of these awful gods, so-called gods that they worshipped. You know, gods like Baal and Ashtaroth and all the others. So her religious education wasn't one of knowing the Levitical law, that's for sure. But she had a culture and was brought up in an environment that was rooted in idolatry and practices that were offensive to our Lord. She was not one of God's chosen people. She was a Gentile. And to cap it all, she had a profession which tends not to end very well, one way or the other. You know, she had a profession that even amongst her own people would have made her an outcast. And we don't know why she got into that. Perhaps she thought it was a good idea at the time. Whatever it wasn't a wise choice. And she had a life that was high risk. She had a life that was going nowhere. But the wonderful thing is, when we read this chapter in Joshua, that Rahab recognised that. She knew that. She knew that this really wasn't serving her too well. In verse 9 from Joshua 2, we read this: "I know that the Lord has given this land to you," she's talking to the spies, "and that the great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you." Now, something had obviously triggered within her. Something had made her realise that actually, this life isn't going to end well for me. She was fearful. And she looked at the God of the Israelites and heard the reports that everyone was talking about. And she thought, this God is the real deal. He is the one who is the authority. He's not like the gods that our people worship. And they were all fearful because of it. The writer of the Proverbs says this in Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Rahab demonstrated great wisdom. She really did. She feared the one true living God. Not in the sense that she would hide under the table or cower away, but she knew she had to humble herself and get rid of all the stuff that she'd been brought up with, all the stuff that she was carrying around in her life. She knew she needed a new start, a clean start. So she responded to that which she knew. And that's an important point, isn't it? Like I said, Rahab didn't have any great teaching about the way of Jehovah, the way of Yahweh. But she responded to that which she knew. And that's important, because sometimes we all have different levels of revelation and understanding. And, you know, God shows us and speaks to us about things. And he wants us to respond to that is which is revealed to us. Not what's revealed to someone else or somebody else's experience, but what's revealed to you in your personal walk with him. She had a seed of faith, her own mustard seed. And if you were to read later through the book of Joshua, it grows into something much, much bigger for Rahab, doesn't it just? She responded to that which we knew. She knew that the God of Israel was a God who was able to vanquish his enemies, yes, but was also a God who was able to save and show mercy. I love that. I love that. God is able to save. You know, the Lord delights in mercy. He really does. And he longs to be merciful. But the pride of our hearts and our thinking is such that we just refuse it. We want to stay within our own little Jericho where it's nice and secure. And the walls are so thick that nothing can get through because that's what makes us comfortable. You know, Jericho, in a sense, is a type of the world, isn't it? It's a city which believed in its own salvation. We can save ourselves. Look how great our walls are. Nobody can get through this. But think about this. The people in Jericho, they believed the reports they had heard about the children of Israel and how God had delivered them. And yet, despite hearing all the reports of the Israelites and how God had led them through the sea and defeated the enemy kings, they still trusted in that which they had built for themselves, their own little kingdom. And in doing so, they rejected God. You know, when our faith is placed solely in what we think we can do for ourselves, then it's a rejection of what God can do within us. And there's so much more I believe that the Lord wants to do in our lives, and I say this to myself, as well as anyone else, that sometimes we just got to step out in faith and let Him reveal the greatness of His purposes. In Jericho, it was like a type of world, as I say. The world looks for its salvation in all sorts of places, things, people, rather than the one true God. You know, you think about it, the story of Jonah when he went to Nineveh. And, you know, you're all familiar with Jonah. And God told him to go to Nineveh because Nineveh was a corrupt city, an awful city, and they were doing terrible things. And Jonah was so indignant with God about it. You know, he felt, Lord, how dare you suggest such a thing? You know, Nineveh's beyond the pale. You know, they'll never listen to your word and they're not going to listen to me. No. They don't deserve saving. And, you know, the story is that obviously Jonah went there and eventually after his little detour, preached the word and Nineveh repented. Nineveh repented. You know, if Jericho had repented, I don't doubt for one second God would have forgiven them. They had the opportunity. They'd heard the same thing as Rahab had heard. They listened to the same reports. But they wanted to hang on to what they knew best. Yet they were all living in fear. Rahab says in verse 11, when we heard of it, that the word had got round about their victories in Egypt, from Pharaoh, when we heard of it, our hearts sank and everyone's courage failed because of you. And they knew God, the God of Israel, was a powerful God. They all heard, they'd all understood. But Rahab was the only one who turned to God for her salvation. They rejected the opportunity that Rahab had grasped. And that's the thing about faith, is it? Sometimes we've got to grasp that moment when the Lord presents it to us, with what He's revealed to you, and not delay. We've got to hold on to that which He has shown us. It's interesting that James, in his reading earlier, says, let's just look at it again, chapter 2. He says, verse 18, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Well, that's a good starting point. And then he goes on to say, well, even the demons believe that and shudder. Belief is not the same as faith. You can believe things, but not have faith. I might have used this example before here, and if I have, forgive me, but if you haven't heard it, then it'll be useful for you. But there was the story of Blondin, the tightrope walker, the French guy who walked across Niagara Falls. I don't know if you remember him in the 19th century. He was the first person to do it, and he walked across the Niagara Falls on his tightrope. And everyone, there's thousands of people there, all excited and cheering and thinking, this is marvellous, fantastic, look at that. You know, the danger of it all. And he said, well, I can do even more than that. I can take a wheelbarrow across. And they said, yes, you can. We believe you can. And he did. And he took a wheelbarrow across. And then he said, well, I can do it blindfold. And he did that as well. And then he said, I can carry a man across. And they said, yes, we believe you can. And he did. He carried his manager across Niagara Falls. The manager must have had faith. I'll give him that. Boy, oh boy, you know, talk about believing in your product. Well, he certainly did. And he did that. And then he said to everyone there, and they're all cheering. He said, so who'd like to come back with me? Anyone? They believed he could do it. They'd seen that he could do it. But they didn't have that faith. And that's different, isn't it? You know, Rahab, she proved her faith. She proved it beyond all measure, really. And she began to make better choices for herself and ultimately for her family. That's a lovely touch about Rahab and her family in this story, because time and time again, when you look at Scripture, you find how God responds to the faith and the obedience of an individual. And the greater blessing is all for the family as well. Like Noah. Noah was a righteous man. Not all his family were, but God blessed Noah for saving his family in the ark. God is good. He is faithful. And she starts making better choices. She chose to redirect her faith away from all the false hope of what she was doing and what she'd been taught to believe. And she directed it to the one who loved her before she knew and loved him. And she decided that she needed to honour that. She had to prove that her faith was genuine. Both the writer to the Hebrews and James make the same point. In Hebrews 11:31 we read this: by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Because she welcomed the spies, she did something about it. She took the risky manoeuvre. If she'd been caught by the city authorities, that would have been it. But she hid them. She honoured God. She had faith and deeds. James says, as we mentioned earlier, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? And both James and the writer to the Hebrews highlight her special example of both faith and works. And this is the right relationship between faith and works that we see in Rahab's life. It recognised her need. It honours God. She humbled herself. And then she does something about it. They weren't good works in terms of keeping the law, because she betrayed her city. But they were, if you like, faith works. And they blessed her immeasurably. You know, there is both salvation and redemption when we honour God with faith that is genuine and seen, or proven by actions or our works. Those things we say and do which testify to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That which we really believe. And you can be cynical and say, well, she only did it because her house was on the city walls and she wanted to save herself. And it was an act of self-preservation. But I would suggest there's more than enough evidence to show that her faith was genuine and real. And God later puts his seal of approval on Rahab, doesn't he? And it's a wonderful story when you read on how after the fall of Jericho that she was taken in to the family of God, if you like. She became part of God's people. And then the most wonderful thing of all, when we look at the reward of faith, that she's listed in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus. She's the only woman listed in both the heroes of faith and the genealogy of our Lord. Rahab had a special place in history. And she came from a position of no hope, bad out prospects, but she trusted in her Lord and Saviour. And there's so much more we could say in this story. We've only just touched the surface, really. We haven't even talked about the scarlet cord, have we? And we could mention much about that in the symbolism and the importance of the blood of the Lamb. But our time has gone, really. But just to close, I'd say this. You know, you often hear people say, if only I could have my time over again. If only I could press the reset button. And I don't know if any of you have that those kind of thoughts. But if you do, I want to encourage you this morning that look at Rahab's example. Put your faith where it's going to be rewarded. Put your faith in the one who is able to deliver. Put your faith in the one who is never going to fail you. He is faithful even when we are faithless. And there is always the reward of faith. We might not have the reward that Rahab did, but there is still a reward. Because God is true to his word. He really is. And he honors those who honor him. And because of our faith, Rahab was used for greater purposes. And God was to bless her life and her legacy for all time. You know, she married, she had a son called Boaz, who later married Ruth. And their great-grandson was David. And so it goes on. You can read it for yourself. It's a lovely reminder, isn't it, that none of us, regardless of who we are, where we've come from, or what we have done, are ever outside the wonderful mercy and grace of God. Amen.